money you got in the bank, is that right? I think that's what Dickie told me.
What was the question?
That on the interest you get on the money you got in the bank from the Shoemaking Corporation, you have to pay income tax on it.
Okay. Mr. McCollum says that's income, you have to pay tax on
it. The question I was...
Just a sec. Yes.
Well, I was going to say that doesn't matter if the dividend is not tied to that. LAU Corporation has a policy. When we make so many dollars, we give out a certain percentage of that, depending on how much our net income is each year. It's got nothing to do with the income tax at all.
Well, it does in a way, the way I'm looking at it. But I was going to ask the question, if the Shoemaking Corporation gave out the dividends, would that be tax-free?
It wouldn't be a deduction to the corporation.
It wouldn't?
You're giving yourself the money. If I took the money out of that bank, yeah.
Well, no.
It's not a tax deduction. No advantage whatsoever except a goodwill.
Do you want to repeat that, Mr. McCollum? Sorry.
I'd say a dividend by the Shoemaking Corporation to its shareholders is not a tax deduction. It's a decrease in assets. And the corporation is not making any money, with the exception of interest at this point. And maybe the Aleut Corporation, where Andrew Grunholt pointed out, is making money, and they could declare a dividend to its stockholders. You are making money. Different situation than the Shoemaking Corporation.
The whole thing is, like you're talking about, you have to pay taxes on it. The dividend is taxable, like you say. But if you're paying out just $100 a year, I think $100 or whatever, I don't know exactly, but at least that much is exempt from taxation. But if you're going to say they're going to pay you out $6,000-$7,000, you better see Uncle Sam.
I'm not saying that we don't pay the taxes on it. I'm asking, do the corporation have to pay taxes on it if they donate it out?
Yes.
Then you'd be taxing the same dollar twice.
Well, as it passes from me to you and you're earning income and you go, it's the same old thing.
Mm-hmm. We've been covering a range of subjects here, and I wonder, would you like to say something? I was thinking of that.
I have one more comment.
Well, we'll let
don't
us get
start
the mic.
As a citizen of the United States, I resent somebody saying, you can do this with your share. You can't do this. It's restricted. We like freedom. I'd like to have my choice as to what I would like to do with my share in 1891. I don't want somebody to tell me, oh, you can't sell it, or you got to keep it for another 5 years, or you have to do this with it. I think we're all able to make up our own minds and even influence our children. Furthermore, some people in the organization wouldn't like me to say this. Some people are possibly making 30, 40,000, and if we all sell our stuff, they're not going to make that anymore.
I don't think the point is in selling your shares and stuff like that. I think the point is being able to hold on to the land after that. Because if you sell your share to somebody else that's Texas, wherever we are, they'll be in there voting on and they can actually acquire your land. So the ones that want to stay, they wouldn't have much to say about it. You lose control of your land, period.
That's if enough shares are sold.
That's right.
But you'd have to sell over 50% or something.
Pretty easy nowadays.
Somebody would have to buy.
That's right.
50% plus
one. Yeah, 51% or something to have control over it. Then they'd have to vote all the people on the board to decide to do what, if somebody came in and bought a few shares, it isn't going to do them any good. They're not, what good is it? They're just going to be sitting there getting, like you said, $100 a year.
Why couldn't they set up a board of trustees to take care of the land and then dissolve the corporation? Because we've been 13 years in this corporation and we've never once got a dividend out of it, never seen anything. Why can't they set a board of trustees and keep the land separate and sell the
operating capital or whatever they want to do.
Well, that's a good point, sir. I wonder, could you give me your name and just repeat the question for the record?
My name is Ralph Bjornstedt.
And what is your proposal?
Set up a board of trustees for holding the land and dissolve the corporation since they've been just sitting on their thumbs for 13 years.
Well, that proposition has the virtue of simplicity. You say that if the corporations put the land in trust and if the corporations have any other assets like money in the bank, just liquidate the assets and divide them up among the shareholders, and then you've still got the land. And
right. Because we can't do anything with the land anyway. I mean, you want to do something, they say, no, we got to sell this, we got to do that, we got to do this, and it's just a complicated mess. I think it's only lawyers making money out of it.
Well, any... maybe I could put this suggestion into the discussion here. When this act was passed, everybody was talking about the corporation's $962.5 million. The impression was given that this act was all about corporations and money and business, but really what you've said, sir, and what you've said, sir, is that what it all comes down to is the question, are you going to hang on to the land? The fate of the corporations is secondary. That seems to me to be the point you're emphasizing, both of you. Any comments on that? Yes, Mr. McCollum.
An alternative would be to sell it back to the federal government or the state.
Well, I heard one time that if you let go of your land, you lose all your native rights. I don't know if that's so or not.
Do you want to repeat that?
Well, I heard someplace, I don't know if it was on the news or read it someplace, where if you let go of your land, you lose all your native rights or aboriginal rights or whatever they call it.
Well, Congress abolished aboriginal title and your aboriginal rights when they passed this act. The one thing that still exists is what is called native sovereignty, the right of native people to govern themselves. And in other villages, other towns, proposals like yours have been made. People have said, where they have IRA governments or traditional councils, they've said, well, let's just turn the land over from the corporations to the traditional councils of the IRA governments. Then the land will be safe, and let the corporations do whatever they want with whatever they've got left.
Confuses me about the land, you know. Maybe I'd like a chunk of land, but they want to keep it for the future, and I was kind of counting down the road, and maybe I only got about 5 to 10 more years of the future looking at me, you know, so. I mean, things are good for the future, but I mean, a guy's got to have something himself while he's still kicking around.
Yeah, well. Well, any other views on this? This has been a more informal discussion than we usually have, but it's been a good one.
Sounds like one thing is for sure, that we don't want to lose the land, regardless of what happens to anything. Isn't that right? That was your feeling, wasn't it, Andrew?
Yeah. I get so interested in listening.
I think most of the native people are for trying to hang on to the land, as far as I can tell.
But there's an inconsistency here. Maybe you would comment on it, or Mr. McCollum would. People say we want to hang on to our land, and yet Mr. McCollum says I'm an American and I don't want anybody telling me I can't sell my shares. Well, if you want to have the right to sell your shares after 1991, and all shareholders enjoy that right, then somebody can come around to this village some weekend and go and talk to everybody, and by putting out a few thousand dollars might very well have a majority of shares in Shumigan by Monday morning. Shares are negotiable, and any other corporation except a native corporation, you can sell your shares. You can go out in the street and sell them to anybody. And these are the only corporations where shares can't be sold. Now, if you think that the people should hang on to the land, then they better hang on to their shares, or they better do what this gentleman, something like this gentleman is urging, turn the land over to some kind of a trust, or... You know, this thing is I don't know whether anybody planned it this way, but it keeps putting you into a dilemma.
Well, I know that, like, say, if you can sell your shares, there's going to be a lot of people selling them. They're going to say, I'm only getting $100 a year anyway, and if I want a lot, I got to buy one anyway. So why not sell your shares? What good are they?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have limited entry down here?
Mm-hmm. On salmon fishing.
And what has happened to limited entry permits? Have people been hanging on to them, or have they been selling them?
Some of them sold them, and some of them kept them.
Well, it strikes me that limited entry permits are a lot more valuable than shares in a native corporation. And if people are willing to sell limited entry permits when they need cash, they're likely, it seems to me, to sell shares.
Right, they're going to sell them. Some people are going to sell them, and some people aren't. That's how it's going to be. Unless they had it, you know, like, say, maybe the corporation had the first chance to buy them back, if it wanted to.
But this gentleman, I've forgotten your last name, sir. Well, he makes the point. The corporations right now can require... The corporations right now under the law could require that after 1991 you would have to let the corporation buy back your shares. But this gentleman says, that's right, but he says, what if they don't have any money to buy them back?
Well, what are they worth? They're not worth too much now. You're only getting 100 a year, like he says for them. They're only worth $100. A dollar, a point or something, huh?
Your share now, your corporation today is worth about neighborhood of $6,000.
You mean his 100 shares?
What's that?
His 100 shares. His 100 shares.
Yeah, it's worth about $6,000.
Yeah, not one share worth $6,000, but 100 shares are worth $6,000.
Yeah. But that doesn't include land, see? How are you going to value the land?
Well, that's a good question. Well, you and the board of directors must have thought about this. You say that those shares have a value of $6,000 apart from the land.
Just as the LU Corporation stands today, its assets, and that excludes surface and subsurface.
Right, if you divided up your assets,
yeah,
he'd get $6,000 today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that doesn't mean, that leaving the land aside, that doesn't mean that in 1992 somebody will pay him $6,000 for those shares. Have you considered whether there's any way of valuing the land? If you threw the land in, would that increase the value of his shares?
I think it'll come to that point later on, because there's a lot of exploration going on the land now, and you're starting to see what the land is, what value the land has. We have a couple of mineral explorations going on now. And
is that land...
This is within the Aleut region, yeah. And there's a geothermal survey going on. Coal.
Are these joint ventures?
Some of them are, and some of them are, most of them are. The mineral companies are paying us to work on our land.
They're paying you for permission from you to do work on your land.
Yeah.
So
better that way.
Rental payments. You're not actually doing this yourself.
No.
I have a question. Could I?
Just wait for the mic. Sorry.
Jerry Gallivan share or 100 shares was worth 6,000. What did you base that on? Just the cash, real estate, and so forth, right? Not land.
Assets.
Yeah, maybe an answer somewhere lies in the division of the land and the money, real estate, etc. When you sell your share, you will only sell real estate and money, not any land.
Well, how's this? You know, what the place in Anchorage now? They don't have the land. I thought it was run by the town corporation. They have the say in it. What does the one in Anchorage have to say about it?
About what?
Like, say that they wanted to sell 100 acres here to somebody. What would your corp? What would you say about it? It wouldn't come up before your board. It would be this board here, right? So they don't have nothing to do with the land in Anchorage, do they?
Yeah, in a sense, they have something to do with it because they own the subsurface. So if there's any value in the subsurface, you guys are going to have to work together on it.
I see.
That's all.
Say if they wanted to sell 100 acres over here on Unga to somebody, the one in Anchorage, we wouldn't have to call up and say that we wanted to sell.
Well, you should let them know because they may have a mineral deposit right underneath of it. Who knows?
You know? I see.
That's
okay.
All. You have to inform one another, in other words. So that way you keep away from lawyers.
Sell the surface, but not the land.
Nothing underneath.
Just the surface.
Right.
But you can't sell the land.
What about Mr. McCullum's suggestion made a minute ago? What do you say about that?
Oh, I asked if there could be a division, whereas the land would be one entity in your shares and the real estate and money in the bank, etc., those assets were separate. And when you sold, you could only sell just the property, the real estate. No way could you sell your share of the land as such. It would stay intact the way it is today.
Those 100 shares that I have, I don't have any land with that 100 shares.
Oh, I think you do.
No, I don't. Where is it?
Let's see that.
It's in the whole thing. But if I want to go out and say there's so many members in here, and if you divided up the land, I'd have so many acres. I just can't go out and get so many acres. So I really don't have any land. Those 100 shares, when you basically get down to it, I don't really have it. I have to come in front of the board and say, well, I'd like to get 25 acres here, and they could say no.
51% of the shareholders sold out. Whoever
right.
bought the 51% would have controlling interest of all this land.
That's if the people that had that 51%, if they were on the board, because the board decides.
Well, they would get their own board.
Right, they'd get their own board.
Are we getting any place?
Well, I'm grateful to you for discussing these things so openly, and it's interesting. Some places I go to, some subsistence villages, everybody in the village gets up and says, "We want to do this or we want to do that." There's usually a common sense of where they want to go, but every place is different. And here you've said, we should hang on to this land. And at the same time, people say that isn't there some way of realizing some cash or some land on an individual basis from this settlement? And it's complicated, but it's been helpful to me. You wanted to add something, Mr. McCullum.
Oh, I would say that people up at Anavuktak Pass up there, yeah, that's right, have a common basis, common economy. Every single person up there hunts and does whatever the other one does. Whereas in Sandpoint, we're all different. Jerry fishes halibut, I fish crab, next man fishes herring, and this man does this and that. We all, and we're different than some of the villages you might go to in the interior, where they have a common, and everybody thinks as one, you might say, no different feelings about things.
You're subsisting in a sense. You're living off the water, which isn't privately owned. It's divided up by governments.
That's right.
And by nations.
And our hunting is incidental.
Yeah.
We buy more beef from the store from Seattle than we do caribou from the mainland.
Forgot it already.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Osterbeck.
You're talking about losing the land, that if somebody sells their stock, pretty soon we won't have any more land. Well, our board of directors, they set up a housing project up here, and they gave the auction to the local people first and then to the outside non-residents, or what's not in the corporation. They came in on the second auction. So if this keep going on like this, don't you think it will be a lot of our land, what we got here, and the Shoemaking Corporation would be sold? And seems like all right if corporation do it, but seems like it'll be horrible if I try to sell mine. They say we're going to lose the land. No, not if they pass a bill through the Senate that you can't sell it. Right now you can in 91, but you're talking about getting a bill through probably the State House and then the Washington, D.C.
You can't sell your land.
If they get the bill passed, yeah.
No, Mr. Osterbeck's point seems to be that the corporation right now can sell land to non-shareholders,
right.
Yet he can't sell his shares now, and people say he shouldn't be allowed to sell them in 1991 either. That's one of the many contradictions in this whole thing.
It could be, but I doubt if somebody would. You know, maybe they would, but I doubt if somebody's going to come out here and buy like 250 shares. Maybe they would for some reason, but it probably wouldn't. We probably wouldn't see it.
Oh, you're talking about the majority of the
Time. Like if somebody wanted to get control of the thing, they'd have to come out here and buy like 250 shares. And you know, I don't know what they would go for, 200, 300 or 500 or whatever. To get control of it, you'd have to buy an awful lot.
Well, I've got another question, too. Is,
okay, just wait till the mic reaches you. Sorry, we just want to get all this down. But
there's been some rumors about corporations saying in 1991 that if you sell the shares to a non-native, it'd be a non-voting share. And wouldn't that devalue, purposely devalue the share if you can't vote it?
That's right.
It seems like your board of directors are taking... flatten your value, your own share when you try to sell it.
Well, it's arguable that the corporations could limit the voting rights of non-natives who buy shares. And it's a point we discussed earlier. If people who outside the corporation buy shares after 1991 and can't vote them, is anybody going to be interested in buying them if that doesn't give them any control? Well, that's a good point. You keep running up against the fact that Congress decided these were going to be profit-making corporations operating just like any other profit-making corporation, but conditions of life and the view that people take of land in Alaska doesn't quite fit into that concept.
I think I could go right back to my opening statement. I complained that as an individual, you, me, some of these older men here like me, will probably not realize $1 from our shares in the Shoemaking Corporation unless we get into a private enterprise where we get some profits. And it's pretty damn unlikely. From what we've seen of other corporations, I can't see us getting into a great big a profitable business in Sandpoint, making all that much money where we could declare $100 a year even. To go a little further, let's go up to the year 1991. If, in fact, they legislate against you selling your share, you will never realize a buck. But if there is a distinction between land and selling your share of the real assets, I'm talking about buildings, businesses, money in the bank, then you could realize a buck. The distinction would be you'd keep the land intact, but you will somehow get a buck in your old age. Thank you.
Okay, well, look, we've had a good afternoon of discussion. If anybody wants to say something further, please go ahead. We're going to meet here again at 7 o'clock tonight if you want to return at that time. I think there may be others who couldn't be here this afternoon, and that's why we agreed to meet at 7 o'clock tonight. But I certainly would welcome all of you back again then. It may be that over over supper we might get some fresh insights. I don't know.
I was going to ask one more question. Now, we're talking about there is no money to be made in Sandpoint, the Shoemaking Corporation. Some of these other corporations bought hotels like the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, the Westward Hilton Hotel, and some got the Sheraton from, where are they from, up around Bethel. Are they making any dividends on their hotels since you've been traveling around? You must have hit some of them corporations.
Well, some of the corporations have paid dividends. Cook Inlet has been paying dividends recently. Chalista has been paying dividends. Some regional corporations have not been paying dividends.
Chalista, that's the one got the Sheraton, right?
Yeah.
How about the Bristol Bay Corporation?
We haven't been to Bristol Bay yet, but I believe they have been paying dividends. But even in the areas, in the regions we've been to where they've been paying dividends, we were last week in the Chugach region, they've been paying dividends. Wherever we went, people really were concerned about the land and weren't they were more concerned about the land than they were about dividends, let's put it that way.
Well, like Bristol Bay, they've been doing fairly good so far as I know, and like they bought Peter Pan for $9 million and they sold it for $27 million, so they made some profit on that. And
could be more to that than meets the eye. I say there's a hell of a lot more than meets the eye in that.
Well, I don't know. It's just what the guys in the corporation said, what they sold it for, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. If these corporations are engaged in buying hotels in Anchorage, and that's no doubt a fine thing to do. Apart from the land, what difference does it make to you whether you own shares in a corporation that has a hotel in Anchorage or whether you have the right to sell those shares and buy shares in General Motors or somebody else? Apart from the land, what difference does it make?
No, the question I was asking, are they making any profit on their hotels? Well, if you talk to any of the people in the corporations that own them, you know,
lay a head on the pillow up there. I think they're making money.
That's not the point I'm asking, but are they getting any dividends from them corporations? That's what I should have brought out.
Chalista's paid dividends, so is Bristol Bay.
Yeah.
You know, all of these corporations, the regional corporations, I think all of them have paid dividends at one time or another. And then sometimes they go through a tough period and they don't pay dividends, you know. That's... But that's business, isn't it?
Right.
When I say that it's hard for a corporation of people like us, the Shoemaking Corporation, to make money in fisheries or fish processing, I like to look back at the investment in the Aleut Princess and the Aleut Pride In the years when king crab fishing was most lucrative, none of us could lose any money in that investment. Yet somehow, the Aleut Corporation didn't come out, did they? Somehow.
You say it wasn't the Aleut Corporation.
No, it was a subsidiary.
Oh.
It's easy to get out of that one.
Well, look, this has been very helpful to me. I appreciate you all coming, and it's been a good discussion. Anybody else like to throw something into the pot?
After you get all around all your villages and then advise us on what we should do, it would be very much appreciated.
Well, I will indeed be writing a report, and I'll send it to you. It'll be made public in the summer of 1985. And look, I was asked to come from Canada and spend 2 years here reviewing this. There's no point in my coming unless I go around, listen to you, and on the basis of what you tell me, write a report and indicate what it is that's most important to you. And then with the advice of people well acquainted with U.S. Law and Alaskan law, make recommendations about how to get there. And David Case, who wrote the leading book on the rights of Native people in Alaska, is serving as my legal advisor. And I think we'll be able to write a report that will be helpful to you. That's my hope. That's why I'm going to all this trouble. And it's been useful, yes.
Have you run into any of the smaller village corporations that talks about mergers?
Well, some of the village corporations have merged in the Otna region. All the village corporations except one merged with the regional corporation. In the Galena area of the Yukon River, four small village corporations merged to...
Excuse me, Townsend, who's there? It's up quite a ways from Galena.
There's two merged corporations.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, there were two sets of corporations. Four corporations in the Galena area merged, so they now have one combined village corporation that is fairly large. And in the Hooslea area, four smaller corporations there merged, and they have an office in Fairbanks and run their affairs from Fairbanks. In the Nana Corporation, or in the Nana region, I think all the village corporations have now combined with the regional corporation. So some of them have tried these things. I mean, it doesn't mean that... I assume the big saving, the important thing is that it saves money, saves overhead. It doesn't increase the value of the land, and it doesn't make it easier to open a business in Kotzebue or Hooslea or Galena than it was before. But maybe they save some money. Well, look, thanks very much. We'll adjourn the meeting, but I hope you'll return at 7 o'clock, and we'll carry on the discussion. And this will give me a few minutes to write down some of the best things I heard.
another thing about small village corporations, I believe.
Right.
They don't have enough money to do anything.
Well, somebody goes paying
into arts.
Staff.
I ran out this morning with my wife and went across the aisle and jumped in a little boat and run over there and picked 22 quarts of
Yeah, well, you